we receive revelation that's found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and glorified. Amen. Okay, we're looking at a teaching. We are brethren, right? Amen. Amen. We are brethren. Or we be brethren. Yeah, I like it that way. We be brethren. Glory to God. We be brethren. Glory to God. We're done with, we concluded on dealing or staying with boredom last week. So we're looking at, we be brethren. Amen. Glory to God. Let's, we'll do a whole lot of background to our study, to the study today, right? We'll have to do a whole lot of background around Bible, hermeneutics, what does it mean, around the teaching though, a bit of a background, like we always will do. Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. Amen. So say, Jesus said, go make disciples. Go teach. That word teach there is where you have the word to make disciples, to make men students. Hallelujah. So say, go make disciples of every nation. Glory to God. So say, this is an instruction of scriptures. We will go make disciples. Now, what does it speak about a disciple? It's a teaching them to observe. So that means a very vital aspect of discipleship that a disciple should learn is observation. Amen. Very vital. So that means a key thing in discipleship is learning how to observe. A disciple must learn to observe. Observe. Glory to God. Though Jesus went ahead to talk about observing what he had commanded, but observation is very vital in discipleship. Observe. Glory to God. Observe. A disciple must not be quick to make decision or to take, must not be quick to make conclusions. He must observe. Amen. Observe. Don't be quick to talk. Observe. Observe how your discipler does what he does. How scriptures are taught. A whole lot of things you have to observe. Glory to God. Amen. Because if you're not a good observer, right? If you're not a good observer, you make a whole lot of mistakes. Now, when it comes to scriptures, if you're not a good observer, there are a lot of things you will skip. Because observation is key in reading. It's key in comprehension. You must learn to observe. Hallelujah. Observe what I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we say, in observation, a disciple, a good disciple, should observe how later interpreters of scriptures interpreted Genesis down to Malachi. Must observe how Genesis down to Malachi were interpreted by the New Testament writers and Jesus. Hallelujah. So we say, nobody called the Old Testament, Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament today, nobody called it the Old Testament. Nobody did. Amen. In fact, what we call New Testament was found in the Old Testament. What we call New Covenant is in the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament verbiage. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah, hope you're following me. So, what we call New Testament today is actually an Old Testament language. Chapter 31, verse 31. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant in Jeremiah. So what you have as new covenant, you find it in what you call Old Testament or Old Covenant. Amen. So that means nobody, so showing you that new covenant and old covenant has got nothing to do with books. It's got nothing to do with books. What are you hearing me? Old Covenant or Old Testament has nothing to do with books. Would you find Old Testament in their books? Yes. We're going to situate it well. And then will you find New Testament in their books? Yes. But the question is, what is Old Testament? What is New Testament? Did you see that? Or Old Covenant and New Covenant. It says, behold, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It says, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days I took them by hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt. It says, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. Stop. Let's look at verse 32 again. It says, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by hand. Now stop. Look up. When it said not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, was he referring to books or events? Books or events? Events. Okay, following me. Amen. So now what does he call listen? He said, I make a new covenant. Now what does he call the covenant? He said he had that covenant with their fathers. Did you see that? Now, he didn't say whether that covenant he had with their fathers is old covenant. Did you see that? But he said, I will do a new, he said, I'll make a new covenant, not like the one I had with their father. He didn't say the one with their fathers is old. Now, situate it well. Something we're going to see in this teaching is, words are not in scriptures, words are not English as you think. Amen. Words in scriptures are not English as you think. Moses didn't speak English. Moses does not know English. He said, Moses, come. He will say, what is come? Amen? Glory to God. He said, Moses, sit down. He said, what is that? Because he doesn't know English. Moses spoke Hebrew, not English. Okay, you know what I mean? So Moses, when he's writing, was not writing English, was writing Hebrew. Okay, follow me. When God spoke to Moses, God didn't speak English to Moses. God spoke Hebrew to Moses. Hope you're following that. So how will Moses write Hebrew? Jesus, now this will shock a lot of people, but Jesus didn't know English. Say, sir, but Jesus didn't know English. Well, he didn't speak English when he was on earth. He didn't. Now watch my tenses. Hope you're hearing me. What's my tenses? Now, Jesus didn't speak English. So, if you are told Jesus, Jesus, come, he isn't going to answer you because he didn't know what you're talking about when he was in the earth. Hope you're hearing me. Amen? So he didn't speak English. Paul did not understand English. So that means Paul didn't write in English. But some have English translation. The English translation is an interpretation from the Hebrew and the Greek. Are you following me? It's an interpretation. Just to say, well, you have the Yoruba interpretation of Bible. It's an interpretation. Hope you're hearing me. So the words you see are not English as you think. Therefore, I'll have to go back again and find out what was said. So when they use the word new, now new to them, we've seen this study before, new to them, amen, doesn't mean brand new. Amen? That's where you have the word to renew. Amen? From the word kadash, to renew. We'll see that next week. To renew. Renew. Hope you're following that. So, when it says, many times when you have new in the Old Testament writings, it means renew. Renew. We've done that study, right? Have we done it? Yeah, we've done that study before. So you have the word renew. Now a quick word. So let's read it with, in the light of renew. It says, let's start from verse 31. Behold, the days come, say the Lord, I will make a new covenant. Can we say that I will renew, right? My covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Does that sound right? I will renew it. He says, not like, so that means, not like the one I, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days I took them by hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means he's renewing his covenant. The same covenant he had with their fathers. But take note. When was this then come? What happened? What happened? He said, they break it. My covenant which they broke. So what did the fathers break? Is it the new covenant that they broke? Did they break the new covenant? Did they break the new covenant? Yes. Amen. Because the covenant is the same covenant. So he said he's going to write, say the same covenant he said to their fathers to them. But what did their fathers do? They broke his covenant. Did you see that? Amen. So what God does, that I showed us, is that God renews his covenant. He renews his covenant. Hope you're hearing me. He renews his covenant. He will always renew his covenant. Amen? God renews his covenant. Abraham, look at his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are they the same? Are they the same covenant? Yes. He said the same thing to three different people at three different times. Amen? He keeps saying it. Now, was it the same covenant he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he gave the children of Israel? Yes. Is it the same thing we have today? Yes. He will give you the land. Now, before you start thinking is land in your village, it's not it. Amen. But it's the same covenant. Did you see that? So God has been renewing his covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, if there's anything called old covenant, it will not be in writings, it will not be in the books, it will be in their acceptance of God's covenant. So their rejection of God's covenant is what is called old. Let's see how the writer of Hebrews will put it in Hebrews chapter number 8. Follow me to Hebrews. Hope you're following me. Verse 8. Hebrews 8:8. It says, now, verse 7. It says, for if the first covenant, now that one covenant is italicized, but let's put covenant there. For if the first covenant was the first, there was nothing in the first covenant, right? If the first covenant had been faultless, they fought, then should not place have been sought for the second. Come on, understand what it says. Watch verse 8. It says, for finding fault with them, is it with the covenant or with them? Where was the problem? The covenant or with them? Them. Is that? But finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant. Did you see that? I will renew it. I will renew my covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So, what had fault wasn't the covenant, but them. They break it. Did you see that? Hope you're seeing that. Amen. Now he said, not according to the covenant which I made with the father in the days that took them by hands and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. He didn't call it old covenant. Then they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For in the covenant I will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah after those days, I will put my laws in their mind, I will write it in their heart. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Stop. Now before you think, when you say I will write it in your heart, I will see people pick it and say, yes! The old covenant was always in the heart. Was it in the tablet or stones? No. Amen. That's called old covenant. Was it in the tablet or stones? Listen. In Deuteronomy, Moses will say to them, he said, what the words I speak to you, say they are not far off. Amen. Say that he says in your heart that you may do it. In Deuteronomy. So that means everything Moses was writing, right? What he wrote was to signify what they should believe. So Moses, hope you're hearing me. So when he says, I will write it in your heart, is it the first time he's going to do it? No. Amen. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. 11, they shall not teach everyone his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now verse 12. I will remember people to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Now verse 13. Now this is what people miss it. He says, now he has established two things. Right? His covenant. Right? Glory to God. His covenant. The same covenant, is that what he's renewing? Come on, look up your church. Is this covenant, is it the same covenant that he's renewing? Right? That's one. It's the same covenant, so we've established it. Right? So it's the same. So that means the new covenant is in Genesis. Is the new covenant in Genesis? You agree with me now? Is the new covenant in Exodus? Is the new covenant in Deuteronomy? Is the new covenant in Joshua? Is it there? Will you have the new covenant? Okay. Now, let's see. Now, what will it now say? He said a new covenant. Can we say in that he said renew? The word covenant too is italicized there. In that he says renew, he has made the first oath. Now what is the first here? Now we've established that this is renewed covenant, right? Right? So what is the first that is oath? Is it writing? Listen, is it writings? Is it God's word? Or is it their action? Is it the writing that is old? No. Is it God's word that is old? No. But their action is what he calls old. Their response. See, they break it. They say that, so their response to God's word is what he calls old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Unbelief. All you follow that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made it all. Let's get back. So we said, none of them called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. Can you see it now? Can you see it now? Did you see where Genesis to Malachi is called Old Testament? No. It's called renewed. In fact, when Jesus in Matthew 26, on the communion table, as we call it, amen, Passover table, rather, or we call it communion table, amen, are you there? Matthew 26, now verse 27. Yeah, this is the cup, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, drink all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In the renewed testament. You see that? Hallelujah. Renewed testament. So that means he say his blood is the blood of the renewed testament. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Renewed testament. So he doesn't call Genesis to Malachi old. What are you hearing me? He doesn't call it old. So when people get that from Israel, I don't know. So, one, we said, observe how they call it. They didn't call it Old Testament. They called it Scriptures. They call it Scriptures. Scriptures. In fact, Sacred Scriptures. Sacred Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul would say, from a child you've known the holy, sacred Scriptures. So it's called Sacred Writings. You've known the Sacred Writings, which are able to make the wise. Sacred. Verses say all Scriptures. Listen to that, all Scriptures. When you say all Scripture, past graphy is referring to what those writings. Amen. Now take notes. Stop. Whenever you have the word all must be used in context. Past. Now remember, I said we're going to go back some things again. Right? Right? When we use the word all, We must situate all within context. In that Timothy, it says, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, right? Now he used the word there, grammar. Grammar. That's two words, grammar and graphe. Now, grammar deals with content, specific content. Grammar, right? This is specific content. So he says, what Timothy has known from scriptures, he calls it salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So he was specific. That means Timothy has an understanding of the message of scriptures that deals with salvation. Right? Right? He said Timothy has a firm grasp of that knowledge. So he used the word sophizo. Is a word for wisdom there. But you know the Holy Spirit is to make you wise. Sophizo. Wise. Right? Wise. Okay. He then goes to the next verse, which is verse 16, that says all scriptures. Now he changes the use of the word grammar to graphe. Now graphe is used in writing, used for writing in general. What's the difference? Grammar speaks to specific writings. Graphe speaks to what? Writing in general. Right? Right? Glory to God. Writings in general. So when that says all scriptures, now he's not saying everything in the world, because when he says scriptures, now scriptures stop is the word writings. Okay, hear me. In their world, scriptures is the word writings. It can refer to any writing. Glory to God. But he says all scriptures referring to the scriptures that what Timothy has come to have knowledge of. Right? Now, what scripture is that? Genesis down to Malachi. He called it what? Holy. Do you see that? Holy scriptures. Watch it. Glory to God. So, all doesn't mean every writing in the whole world. No. It refers to what? Writings of Genesis down to Malachi. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go further. Paul. So you understand these things. Sorry. Amen. Amen. In Romans, but it says in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, I say, in everything in the world. No. He was specific. So the word all should not be situated in context. Similarly to when he says, I can do all things. So the church of Philippians, quickly. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. He's not saying he can do everything. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. That I can do all things. And you think you can do everything in the world. Glory, glory, glory. Oh my, I used to be like that too. I can do everything. The meaning of all is everything with the exception of nothing. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. When you find some people say things like that, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So, it's second, I need something now.
Just give me a few seconds. Oh, I wonder what has skipped this. Okay, I'll get that over for you later. Amen. Amen. So when you find the word all, you must situate it within context. Hallelujah. You must situate it within context. So all scriptures. Now, we said, they refer to Genesis and to Malachi as scriptures, right? Jesus in John 5:39 will say, you search these scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me, but you not come to me that you might have life. Hallelujah. So he referred to scriptures, as Genesis and to Malachi. Hallelujah. Genesis and to Malachi is also called the law and the prophets. Law and the prophets. Luke 24:25. It says, all whose love are to believe in all the prophets as well, they order the Christ to suffer this sins and enter the glory. And beginning at Moses, Genesis, and all the prophets, right? He expanded unto them in all the scriptures. This is what he call it. So in all the scriptures, it will be Genesis down to Malachi. So the all there is Genesis down to Malachi. Right? So the all there is the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Hope you're following me. Amen. The law and the prophets is all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Amen. Verse 44. These are the words I spoke to you. All of which that all things must be fulfilled, who are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So that's what they call scriptures. Acts 28. Follow me here. Acts 28. Verse 31. It says, at the top of verse 30, it says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired as I received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerns the Lord Jesus, right? With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I guess that should be 21. Verse 23. It says, and when they had appointed him a day, he came made to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So it's called Moses and the prophets. Can you see it? Hallelujah. Let's be a bit faster. I spent too much time. Though I told us that we're going on in the coming days, which is today is part of the coming days. I said that last week or last week. I'm going to expand on this, right? Right? I said that to us. Now, how did they handle it? They handled Genesis to Malachi as the only material through which God is known. The only material through which God is known. Please, let's be fast. They handled it as material profitable for spiritual growth, not as material that is going into extinction. Material profitable for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So scriptures are profitable for spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. Scriptures there is not Malachi. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now number 4. We'll dwell here a bit today again. So they weren't writing that their right materials should replace the scriptures. They were not writing for their materials to replace Genesis to Malachi when they wrote. So you have to be very intelligent to see it. Because if you don't see it, you think it has replaced it.
So some people say, you know, that the less is more. You don't need the more because you have the key point. I go and write exam and score D. And is that your key point? You hear according to Ababio. And you don't go back to read Ababio. Continue. You're with your God. Amen. You have to go back and reread. Go to God and reread. So they were not writing that their material should replace the scriptures. In fact, many of them, all of them, did not know that their writing will be part of scriptures. I said it last week. Paul didn't know that his writing will be part of scriptures. Amen. If he had known, he won't put some personal things there. Amen. Glory to God. He wrote to Timothy, he said, bring my cloak. Take little wine for your stomach sick. This is that, those are personal assignments, personal things. Glory to God. Because they didn't know that their writings will be part of scriptures. They were writing, so when Paul was writing the epistles, he was writing, now I told us the epistles were written because the apostles were not present. Right? When the apostles were present, would they need to write an epistle? No. They would teach. So the epistles were written because they were not available. Right? So they would send letters. I showed us that in our study on the book of Colossians. Acts 15. From verse 1, they had disputes. There was dispute between some guys who came and started teaching something, some other rubbish. And they went to Jerusalem to address the matter. When they were done addressing it, if you read Acts 15, right? Verses 22. Verse 23. And they wrote letters by them. Now, they addressed, this issue was happening in, I guess that was in Antioch, because they were in Antioch. Now, this issue happened in another place, so they had to come down to Jerusalem. Watch it. They had to come down to Jerusalem to address the matter. Now, in coming down to address the matter, listen, this is very, very significant. In coming down to address the matter, when they were addressing it, in verse 23, they now wrote letters. Because the apostles in Jerusalem were not going back to the brethren. Right? So they wrote letters. Now they now wrote letters by the hands of Paul, Silas, to go back. Right? Judas and Silas. So they wrote letters by their hands. So they gave them the letters. Now how it is done is, the person that delivers the letter is the one that will read the letter and explain the content. So automatically, when the letters were written, the ones who wrote the letter already have explained the letter to the letter bearer. So he's delivering the letter and then he is explaining the letter. Do you see that? So the letter was not to replace scripture. The letter was, they were handling issues, confirming believers, but in handling those issues, right, they are handling those issues with the scriptures. Isn't that? So they expect when the letters are read and explained to you, it will be explained from scriptures. Isn't that? Can you see this? I can do all things, for example, they are showing where it is. Can you see this? So they are actually using the letters. So the letters are coming in twofold. The letters are coming, I hope you are listening to me, they are coming both as interpretation and application of scriptures. So, the letters are both interpretation and application of the 39 books. Amen? Amen? So, we're going to see this in application. Therefore, their letters will be shorthand. The context of their letters will be read the 39 books. So their words will have its, their words, what is the New Testament book, will have its roots, its origin, its context within the New Testament books. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. Don't miss that at all. So they're not nothing for you to neglect the writings of Genesis and Malachi. In fact, I like to say it like that. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when they opened up so that you see that what they are writing is from the Genesis. Matthew says, the book of the generations, the book of the generations, Genesis, generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, that we don't get detached. This is what we are writing for. Right? This is what we are writing for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 2 says, the beginning of the son of Jesus Christ, the son of God, beginning. So you don't get detached from where you're writing. God was there in the beginning was the word Genesis. And I, so you are not detached. So never were they writing for you to measure the Old Testament book. No, they didn't do that. So that's already. They always want you to read their writings with the Old Testament book because their writings are interpretation and application of the Old Testament book to their world. So they are in this audience. Hallelujah. So audience is important. Your audience is important in how you root. Audience will be very vital in our teaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In our teaching. Context. So context will be vital in what we are teaching. Right? We will go through one another one at the context of words. Context of words will have its origin from where they are writing from. The writing from the Old Testament books, and then to also bear in mind their immediate environment. We'll see on that today. Glory to God. So don't get detached. Don't get detached. Don't get detached. So we said, words are not English as you think. Words in the Old Testament books are not English as you think. That is not English as a thing. Glory to God. So we'll deal with that. I had to show something but I discovered I didn't get it. I didn't have it in this note. So I didn't have any notes. I'll move it to next week. So words are not English as you think. Amen. They actually aren't. I want to show you the use of the word Zakah, but since I don't have it in this notes, I guess it's in other books. I didn't come with my bag. Okay, I'll take it that way. So words are not English as you think, and at the same time too, remember, from both words, both from the Old Testament books and from the New Testament books. Now when you call Old Testament books and New Testament books, it's just for reference. Don't think I'm contradicting myself. It's like you know what I mean, Old Testament books. So Old Testament books are written in Hebrew, not English. New Testament books are written in what? Greek, not English. So many times, words that you think are really English are not English. As you expect them to be. But he says, like God remembered his promise.
Yes.
Eh? He's going to have. Changing. Language is changing. Glory to God. Language is evolving. So, I'll have to go back again and read it in their world. What were they saying? What were they saying? How was writing in their world? So in their world, there's a way they used to write. Things are coming. Now there's what is called base of knowledge. Listen, the base, what we call basic knowledge or base of knowledge means this is the lowest form of writing for anyone to comprehend. They have what is called base of knowledge. Now, base of knowledge is how they communicate with basic things. Now, how would they do it? We're going to see that shortly. They will use basic things. They will use things like pebbles, animals, to communicate things. Hallelujah. To communicate things. I'll say some others, for those of us in women, shortly. But they'll use basic things to communicate. This. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 78. Let's get back there. So mode of communication is changing. They will tell you they have money where people communicate with by trade by barter, buy and sell, trade and barter. See, people started using legal tender, 10 naira, 20 naira. Today is going beyond that. You're going to Bitcoin, right? Pink coin. Which other one again? All the coins in the world. Some people are not tapping. They're not tapping. 2 million taps per day, per hour. And if they pray in tongues and say 2 million words, they cannot, but you're tapping 2 million words in an hour. Tapping. Some people are not tapping fast. Very soon, you see some people's hand is just like this. You don't know why. You have tapped your life. Tapping. Amen. You go and tap and break your screen. Amen. Alright, yeah, and tap it. Well, but you see, things are progressing. Right? Amen. Imagine I see somewhere, you say, tap it! You say, oh, tap it, is it? I have to go back to that world again. Right? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, you know, today you can communicate with Twitter, Facebook. You know you can find Twitter, Facebook online. I mean, in scriptures. Why? Because what's the mode of communication? Hope you're following that. So the mode of communication, you can find it there. See, and Jesus sent a tweet. How? To who? Amen. So, you will find such things because it has mode of communication as evolved. Now Psalm 78 says, give ears, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will offer dark sayings of old. Is it the word dark sayings? Chida. Dark sayings. Chida. Is this for reading? Is this for reading? Now when you remember, when you find the word old there, it's referring to what Genesis down to Malachi. Now in this context, it's referring to what is written before. 5 books of Moses. Did you see that? So he says, I will utter the dark sayings of old. Say dark sayings, chidus. Remember you have the word parables, you have the word riddles from. How about hearing me? So that means, how did they write? They wrote a riddles. Say, which we've heard and known, our father has told us. Is that? So that means the mode of communication in their world was by riddles, was by figurative expressions. Is that? Now what did he say? He said, we will not hide them from their children. So that means that's what you find all through in the books.
I mean, that's what you find all through in the Old Testament.
Amen. You find it all through in the Old Testament books. What's the base? So, Moses will communicate God's words to them, or the writers of Scripture will communicate God's words to them clearly and plainly, then they will not show them in riddles, because that is how they understand well. Did you see that? Amen. Hope you're following me. So the riddles and the parables is to come down to their level. He will come down to their level, so that they will understand what he's saying plainly. Hope you're following that. We don't hide it from the children. So that's why, how were they with you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we say Jesus and the writers of the New Testament books did not contradict Moses and the Old Testament writers, Old Testament books writers. Hallelujah. They didn't. They didn't. They just have to find out how words were used in their world. Let's see a few things. In John 5:43. Follow me now. When we get into our teaching proper, we get to see why we came through this route. I always say this in all our meetings, but you always see how why we went through all those routes, right? We'll be brethren. So that means stop. At the background of the writers of the New Testament writings is what? The Old Testament writings, right? Now, also watch. Now, the Old Testament writings. Listen well. Every latter interpreter of the Old Testament writing was interpreting a previous writer. I'll explain. Before we get to, put your hands in that John 5. We want to Mark. Put your hands in John 5. Rush to Mark. Mark 1. Right there. Mark 1 verse 2 says, it's written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Did you see that? Right? That is Malachi. So Mark is reading Malachi, a previous writer, right? Get to Malachi 1. Let's get to Malachi 1. I mean Malachi 3, verse 1. You to follow me well and see what I'm doing. Okay, verse 1. Now, are you with me? Behold, I send a messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come in his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight, behold, he shall come, seeth the Lord of hosts. Now, where is he writing from? Malachi is writing from Isaiah. Isaiah is a previous writer. So Malachi will write from him in Isaiah 40 verse 3. So the voice of one cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You see that? So it's writing. Who are following me? Did you see that? So he will write a previous writer. Isaiah himself will write from another writer. Moses. Did you see that? So every writer is interpreting a previous writer. Glory to God. Every writer is right. So the context of every writer is the previous writer. Everybody is writing backwards. Who are following me?
Amen. So the context, listen and listen well. The context of every writing is, of every writer is one, the previous writer. Now, context will take two layers. Take that down. Context will have two layers. Now, the context will be the previous writer, right? Because he's going to use words from the previous writers of scriptures, those that are before him, and then apply it to his world. So context of the two layers, the writings before and his immediate world. Did you see that? So that will form context of their writings. And you must pay attention to context. Amen. His immediate word will carry forth his immediate audience. Culture. We'll deal with all that later on. Amen. I know I've taught you that, but we'll deal with it again. Amen. You'll find it there. Why are we doing all this? It's in this teaching. And then remember, I told you, as soon as you're done with the book of Colossians, we're getting into what? Answering to these questions in our world. Amen. And what are we left with to answer the questions in our world from scriptures? We are left with the 39 books. And, I mean, the 66 books. Right? Right? And we're going to use their word, how they use word in their world and in their culture to answer questions in our world today. Two different words, two different cultures, two different modes of communication, but yet the same gospel and the same instructions from the same material. Hallelujah. Amen. But we're going to see everything together. Are you following me? So we'll see everything together. So this introduction will cover up for both. Amen. So we said that you have two layers of context, right? Right? Where they're writing from and their immediate world, which will include their immediate audience. Glory to God. Call those guys outside. Just go out. You see them? You don't see them? Come on. Amen. Now let's go back to John. I also get to John. Hope you understand what we're doing. Hope you understand what we're doing. Hope you're understanding it real. John 5:39. Verse 43, 45. It says, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. This was speaking. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one which accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. I thought, sir, you said Jesus is not, did not contradict Moses. Why did Moses, what did you say? I will not accuse you. Why did you say, do not think I accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. So it's looking at him. Moses is the accuser, right? Right? Moses is the accuser. I am. So Jesus is painting Moses black. No. That's not what Jesus has done. Listen to what he said. Because the next verse will give you a guide. What are you hearing me? The next verse will give you a guide. Okay. It says, do not think I will accuse you. Now when he used the word accuse there, he used that Greek word kategorio. How you accuse someone in a law, in a court. I am accusing you, I'm placing a charge on you. You see that? I'm accusing you before the judge. Then I do not think I will do that to you. Right? So there is one who accuses you. You say, Moses, on whom you trust, right? Right? And let's do basic Bible reading. I call it Bible reading for beginners. Look at your Bible. Bible reading for beginners. Look at your Bible. If you have Bible, just single-handedly take take out those things that you have there that are italic, that are in italics.
Amen.
The word even is italicized. So take it out.
What?
One is italicized. Take it out.
So let me help you do it. Use your Bible on your Bible. Clean it. Take it out.
Let's read it well. Just cancel it.
Let's read it without those two italics.
Now let's read. It says, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is that accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust.
So that means, stop. Within that point where you have the italics, or the word italicized there, is what is called, it happens like that in writings. Right? Where some writings, where some language are broader in sense than some other language in some specific areas.
Glory to God.
Hope you know that. And some things in Yoruba you cannot translate in English. Hope you know that.
Aha.
And some things in English, I do not have Yoruba interpretation. What I tried to interpret it. What is cake in Yoruba? What is shawarma in Yoruba?
So I'm
just saying some languages are richer in some aspect than some other language. So that gives room for interpreters. Now it's not wrong. An interpreter in interpretation, you can actually listen here. In Bible interpretation, you can actually suggest words that suit what you think the writer is saying.
Over here,
you can suggest words. That's what it says. So it says, for do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There's one, this is what the interpreter he has done, that accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust.
Amen.
Amen. So, let's see a bit of that. The Greek, when you look at the Greek, it says, there is that accusation. Right? And how, if I'm to interpret it, I'll put it like this, because of the next verse and the verse after.
Amen.
Amen.
Focus here.
I'm cutting my sleeping church.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
So he said, there is that which accuses you. It says, Moses in whom you trust. So I said, if I'm to do that interpretation, what I will put is, right? I'll put, because of the next verse, the verse after, I'll put, there is that accusation which Moses has written. Or we put it, accusation, and Moses has written it. Why would you say Moses has written it, sir?
Verse 46.
Say, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. So, the vital thing to see there is that writing. Did you see that?
Writing.
He said, but if they believe not his writing. Did you see that? So that means something that is predominant there is Moses' writing. Right? So, when you say there is that accusation that Moses has written it already. Do you see that? So when he says, so it's not Jesus painting Moses black. He says, see, I'm not going to write a new accusation. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not writing a new accusation. There's already an accusation that Moses has written. So if you believe Moses, you will believe me because he has written also concerning me. Do you see that? Say, if you don't believe Moses, writing, how will you believe my words? So Jesus is saying, anything Moses is saying is what I'm saying. Moses' accusations are my accusations. That's what he's saying. So what Moses has written as accusations, I'm not going to write any new one. I'm only going to say what Moses has said, because Moses was writing about me. Did you see that? So Jesus is not sending Moses back. He's saying he will stand with Moses. Did you see that? Amen? Jesus is saying, he will stand with Moses. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you find the word accusation for unbelief, what is the background? So it says, remember that there is unbelief. Now he's talking unbelief, right? Right? Then they will accuse you before the Father. Now, what is that accusation? So when Jesus said, there's one who accuses you, Moses is whom you trust. If you believe Moses, believe the word concerning me. So what is that accusation? So what is in the background when Jesus spoke about accusation that is in Moses, that Moses wrote of? What is in the background? Remember, what is in Jesus' mind? The 39 books. His audience will have the 39 books, right? So where the accusation of Moses, where would their mind go to that Moses wrote of? And take note, two things are dominant here. Writings and what? Belief. If you believe Moses, you believe me. Right? So two things are predominant, belief and writing. Did you see that in the next two verses? So now, when you now talk about an accusation, it will be an accusation for not believing. So where will you find it? At the background is Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, that Moses wrote of. So what is the accusation of unbelief? Out of God's presence. Exile from God's presence. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. Can you see what they have at the background? Amen. So, without mentioning Cain and Abel, Jesus is mentioning Cain and Abel. Hope you are seeing it. Without saying Adam and Eve, you will find Adam and Eve in his word. So what has he done? He has now used the shorthand, right, for you to go back to read Moses to see the accusation for unbelief. Hope you are following it. Hope you're following it. Then, also what will you have again at the background? Moses in Deuteronomy, where it's, I said before thee, life and death, blessing and curses. Do you see that? Amen. Life and death. Death will be what? When will you find death? When Moses said life and death, when will you find death? This is Deuteronomy. Where will you find death? Genesis. So Moses is doing what? Writing from Genesis in Deuteronomy. What are you following that? What are you following that? So where will you find life? The tree of life. Where will you find death? Genesis. So how did death come to Adam and Eve? Which is death there is exile. How did death come? They did not believe. Do you see that? Do you see that? Do you see the accusation? Exile because of unbelief. Follow me now. Let's see something else. Hope that will be. Hallelujah. So, Jesus gave that contrast that he's not in contrast with Moses. No, he's not dismissing Moses. Rather, what he does to Moses is to explain Moses and apply it to his word. He has just explained Moses and applied it. Right? To his word. He's not fighting Moses. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Moses will be writing will be the oracles of God, and he'll be writing it to his immediate audience. So, this is not Moses' immediate audience, Jesus, but he will interpret Moses for his own audience to see. Amen. Because anytime, any day, unbelief does not change form. Unbelief is unbelief. Sin did not change form. Sin is sin. Faith in God is faith in God. There was never a time faith in God was something else. It's the same. Across all ages, all ages, all generations, faith in God is faith in God. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Let's see something else that looks as if Jesus was contradicting Moses. Matthew chapter number 5. Quickly, rush to Matthew 5. We'll look at a few and then look at this. Matthew 5.
Okay. Oh, before we get to Matthew 5, sorry. I just remembered something. Before Matthew 5, I skipped something. Matthew 22. Now, Jesus wasn't dismissing Moses. We'll get to Matthew 5 now. And that's very close. Matthew 22. Verse 36. He says, and they came to meet him. And he said, Master! What you do? He said, Master! When you hear this kind of master, you know that it is a... What do they call this one? When you hear this kind of master, you know that it is high service master. Master! What is the greatest commandment of the law? Now, the reason is to say Christocentric. No. We don't do law here. Law is legalism. We are in God. we have left the law. Right? What is the greatest commandment of the law? Christo-electric. We've left the law. We're in Christ. We've come past the law. What did I want to get? Do people say? Christ-electric, tell me now. Yeah. We are both. You see, he that is above all. Yeah. We are above the law. I needed the law to be saved. Yes, now. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You don't know what you love. Yeah? You know that? Jesus did say that. He didn't say, hey, it's not Moses you are doing it. I am God. Forget Moses. I'm here now. Jesus didn't do that. Amen. What did he say? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said, this is the fourth and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Now, what if I spot? So on these two commandments, on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Stop. Now remember, I told you, when you hear the word 10 commandments, was not referring to do's and don'ts. 10 commandments, they have a 10 commandments, means, is where you have that Hebrew word Torah. Right? Torah. Where you now, what is called, it's a didache. Doctrine. So they're asking what is the great commandment of the Lord. They're asking what is. Now remember, law in quotes there was referring to what Genesis down to Malachi. Right? How many of you know Genesis is called law? Yeah. You don't know? Okay. How are you going to remove the apostle in your name? Sharp. Amen. Amen. So, the law and the prophets. So, he said, what is the greatest commandment? So, what they were asking him is, what is the doctrine? Because the word commandment is doctrine. Well, yeah, the 10th commandment is talking about doctrine. 10 things. Moses is writing 10 things and is communicating the doctrine of God. The oracle. Now, Jesus now said, on these two hangs all the law and the prophets, which is the law they're asking. So, they can ask. So we can also say that question can be, what is the greatest commandment in the law and the prophets? Did you see that? So Jesus now said, on these two hands, what? The order law and the prophets. So that means he's telling you the doctrine of scripture. The doctrine of scripture is you love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is, the love of the Lord there is faith in God. So faith in God is called the love for God. Right? To love the Lord. Faith in God. Believe. Now he now said, that is the first, the proton. Right? The first. He now said the second, the doutros, is like unto it. What is the second? He says, you love your neighbor as yourself. So that means the second, the doutros, is not second in distance form. It's actually the second that flows from the proton. Amen.
But you have the first and you have the second will flow from the first. So that means from faith in the Lord, what will proceed from faith in the Lord is love for all men. So you say you have love for God, right? And love for all men. So your love for all men will flow from the love of God. Is that? So faith in the Lord will produce will love for all men. And it says this is what all the prophets, all the law and the prophets hangs on. That means the doctrine of scripture is on this. Jesus was emphatic when he said it. Amen. Amen. Emphatic. The love for God and love for all men. Jesus was emphatic. Glory to God. Love for God and love for all men. So very vital. That means when you read scriptures together, what you will find is faith in God, and then you find love for all men. When you read all the rules, so you can say, what is the summary of what was written? Love for God and what? Love for all men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now. I'll show you something else. Okay. Okay, thank you. I just saw something that I stayed back. Okay, let's see something else. Now, love for God. Now, let's get back to Matthew 5. So, we said, the doctrine of scriptures is what? Faith in God, right? And our walk towards men. This is that. You find it in the book of, if you find how the apostles will write, they will write with the same, for every writer will follow the same. Every writer of scripture will follow the same approach. Love for God and love for all men. Faith towards God and it will produce love, our Christian walk. Hallelujah. So we're getting close to our teaching. We be brethren. Hallelujah. We be brethren. But let's see a few things concerning that. Look at Matthew 5 quickly. I said, so this, to open to Matthew 5. Now, verse 38. Wait. Coming. Okay, thank you. Now, verse 39. Are you there? For I say to you, ye resist not, I say to you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee, verse 38, sorry. Ye have heard it is that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye. A foot for a tooth. So, and Jesus now said, that when he said an eye for an eye, that is Moses. So. Moses told them an eye for an eye. Amen. Amen. Okay, that should be the four. So Moses showed them an eye for an eye. Glory to God. Then Jesus now said, but yeah, I mean, Jesus now said, but I said to you, that shall resist not evil. Are you here? Resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on one on the right cheek, turn to the other also. Turn to the other side also. I said, ah! Jesus is contradicting Moses. Moses said, eye for an eye. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And you think it's contradicting. Right? But it's not. It's not. How, sir? Let's get back to see where Moses said that. Deuteronomy 39. I mean, Deuteronomy, yeah, 19. Deuteronomy 19. Are you there? It's Jesus. Now, Moses is teaching about judgment. And part of what we're looking at in this series will be, I was supposed to give you what our focus will be, about judging. How should we judge? Brethren. Is it right for believers to carry believers' matters to court? How to handle conflicts among believers that are both in your local church. How many of you saw the rise of ideas? Right? Both in your local church and outside your local church. Some people are only working in honor towards people in their local church. People outside their local church, you just talk to them anyhow. Are you in my church? Some people say, do you know the word? Do you speak in tongues? So on that basis, just treat them anyhow. No. We'll be believers. Hallelujah. Scriptures, so we're going to look at that from scriptures. Deuteronomy 19. Are you there? Are you Deuteronomy 19? I'll start from verse 20. I'm coming. Just 1 second. Okay, let's read from verses 16. If a false witness arise, now, verses 16, first, it says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. If any witness, if any that sinneth or that sin, sorry, if any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. But if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he hath thought to have done to his brother. So shall thou put evil away from amongst you. That is, that's done. It says, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more such evil doing amongst you. And thy eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now he's not saying, I will kill I. Yeah, no, this is in judgment. Somebody that rises up with wrong judgment. Right? Right? When I rise up with wrong judgment, that, and they found out that you have come to testify wrongly. That thing which you said you want them to do to that person, they'll do it to you. Right? Right? Now, watch. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus is closer to where
if believed Jesus was reading for. Leviticus 24. Quickly. Leviticus 24. Verses 19. Now watch for verse 17. He says, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. But he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man causes blemish on his neighbor, and he has done, so shall it be done to him. He says, in that says here, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He that causes a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him again. So he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man shall be put to death. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this was from God. Was from God. There is no God. There is no God that spoke at the time. But this one was from God. What is this? What is God doing here? It's not saying eye for eye. No. You have to see, okay, yes. Let me put it like that, yes. But ask yourself the question. What is the context of this statement in their world? You see that? In their world. So, ancient Near Eastern culture, which is in the days of Moses, they had a culture that is you wrong a brother, you will die. Do you see that? If somebody carries another person's thing, you will be killed. So strength is seen in putting people to death. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Because in their culture. So now God is coming in, and God is a God of law. Right? So Moses is going to speak now. And God is going to permit something. How? Why would God permit it? Because it's law. Amen? How is it law? Somebody has stolen someone's bear. And you're supposed to be, you know what they call this, in jungle justice. Look, see, he's a thief! He that steals, he must die. And they want to lynch him to death. And God shows up. And says, no, don't kill him. Say what? Is it injustice? No, God says, okay. What did he take? He stole my goat. He stole my goat. I said, what if he gives you back your goat? Can he live? Hey, if I can get my goat back, no problem. The same size, right? Oh yeah. Go and buy goat and give to him. Did you see that? An eye for an eye there is a figurative expression to say, what I've done to you that you wanted to kill me for, I'm restoring it back to you. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, is that not love? Instead of you dying, you want to kill you and say, give him back the goat. And you restore back the goat. And the guy was his man at peace. And said, okay, God save you. God actually did save him. He has gone with his goat. Is that not love? Is that not love of God? God has just shown you mercy. Instead of you to die, you have restored it back with the goat. Did you see that? Hope you're following it. Amen? Amen? Someone stole something. Don't go see, no, don't kill him. Let him restore it back tenfold, for example. He stole 10 naira, I'll give you 200 naira. Okay, that one, I'll take it. Okay, give me. Oh, what's he doing? Give me. Did you see that? That's love. So what has God done? That is not God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan is the fact that the man who is angry, right, forgives totally. Did you see that? And not look for to retaliate or to do anything. Because what is doing to retaliate back and kill? Right? Two evils. The one that stole is evil. You that kill is evil. Right? But pay something back. Now, that is God.
in their war. You know, Moses, imagine Moses just said, hey, what happened? He stole my goat. Let him go. They also see Moses as God. That was their war. So God is not going to be permissive in his love. Right? He has to restore his back. That everybody there, there will be peace. Did you see that? That is eye for an eye. And eye for an eye means what I took from you, I'm going to give it back to you. Instead of you killing me. Did you see that? Did you see the punishment? Death, but I restored it back. Now Jesus now said, Jesus is now showing you, Jesus is explaining Moses to his world, his own audience. So he has read Moses, where Moses said an eye for an eye. This is that a tooth for a tooth. Now he now said, chapter 5, verse 38, quickly. Verse 39, now said, but I said to you that, I said to you that you resist not evil. Did you see that? You resist not evil by that. He now says, hey, but whosoever shall slip you on one cheek, turn to him the other. That is to say, this is perfect love. Amen. That is love too, but this is the destination of what Moses is writing. Did you see that? What is the destination of what Moses is writing? Moses is writing the love of God. And this is the destination. The destination is, God's intention is that that person has stole, you forgive him. Totally. Did you see that? Did you see that? So what do you have at the background of Jesus' writing? What do you have at the background? Moses. And what was Moses talking about? The love of God to his audience. So Jesus is reading what Moses has done. Jesus is not contradicting Moses. Look up here, everybody. Look up here, everybody. Look at me. Jesus is not contradicting Moses. Moses is what Moses has done to his world. Is he love? Is he love? So Jesus has seen what Moses is communicating is love. So Jesus is reading Moses' love to his people and is saying he's not applying it to his world. So in Jesus' word, what will be love will be what? Turn your cheek. I love the person. He's not saying you should literally turn your cheek. He's saying allow the person be. Did you see that? Allow the person go. Just let it be. No, let's not have problem, let's be. Amen. Amen. At the background of these two statements, remember, when Jesus, the background of Jesus' statement is Moses' words. What is the background of Moses' words? If they were intelligent students, when Moses said, an eye for an eye, give him back, let everything go. That is also Moses is saying they should not be what? Quarrel. Don't kill. Don't do two evils. Right? Don't do two wrongs. So what was the background of what Moses is saying? The background of what Moses is saying to them is what will take it up from next week. Moses is reading, at the background of what Moses is saying is Abraham and Lot. There was strife between Abraham's sheep, Abraham's people and Lot's people, their headmen. And and then the matter came to Abraham. And Abraham went to his brother Lot. He said, let there be no strife between you and I, between your headsmen and my headsmen. Say, for we be brethren. So what is he saying? If they were intelligent enough to see where Moses is going, they will be able to see that what Moses is trying to show them is that what God really wants is not him restoring it back. It's you walking away, that they did no strife. Do you see that? So Jesus speaking what Moses has said, right, in an illustration from Abraham and Lot, right, and what he has said to them, he's applying it to his world. Hope you're following me. The same way, Moses will tell them, God wants you to build a temple amongst us, right? And as referring to their hearts, he will give them a temple, a tabernacle, as an illustration. Moses also communicated to them God's perfect law amongst believers, amongst brethren. He says, for we be brethren. There should be no strife amongst us. We are brethren. Overlook it. Let us go. Right? Let's go. Overlook it. Don't be like Cain, who got angry in his heart. Let it go. let it go. But yet, he will now step it down for them. Right? Like he will step down what he spoke to them about God wanting to dwell with them, with the tabernacle. He will step it down for them. Okay, restore back. What is the goal? The goal that Moses wanted to achieve is not that you to pay back. No. What Moses is trying to achieve is that there be no strife. Do you know that? That there be no strife. There should not be strife amongst us. There should not be strife. So paying back, paying back. You see that? And Jesus said, that's good. But you know what? The perfect is what? Turn the other cheek. When Paul was to interpret it, Paul would say, is it not even better that a brother defrauds you? He said, just alas, what's there? While he's still saying brethren shouldn't defraud brethren, he said, walk away. That's what he's saying. The same verdict. Walk away. For sanity's sake, walk away. There be no spy. That means we have that duty to ensure that there's no strife amongst us. Amen. And we're going to open that more. We have that duty. We'll see that from next week. To ensure that there's no strife at all amongst us. So, sir, how do we judge? Should we judge? How should things be resolved? If there are issues, how should we relate to fellow believers who have wronged us? Who have done grievous, hard, painful things to us. I know. How do we settle with believers? Amen. And as believers, how should we conduct ourselves among other believers? These are questions we're going to be answering as we delve into this next week, from next week. Real situations. Should a believer do business with other believers? Should a believer get into business deals with other believers? What if the business still go wrong? Goes off? How should I react? Not just believers in my local church now, but other believers. Should I say things like, that's how they used to be. That's how I don't like. I've heard someone say, that's how I don't like dealing with Christians. Someone said, I don't like dealing with pastors. Rubbish talk. They are not taught well. Sometimes people's speech is as a product of what they've been taught. I trust the Lord. As we get into our business days, our daily lives, we'll encounter believers, people from different churches, not just our church. Right? I want to get into business with. Some people will get into business with the wrong notion of what people have said concerning people. No. How should I get into business with people? How should I handle situations that look as if it wants to cause a loggerhead? Can I take my fellow believers to court? I've not said whether you should or you should not, but can I? Can I not? Should I? Should I not? We'll see that on scriptures in the following days, in the coming days. And I trust the Lord that much more our eyes will be open. Our eyes will be open. And our dealings with believers will have excellence as we deal with believers. Excellence. We can have business dealings. We can deal with believers outside our local church. We can honor believers. Some people only honor believers in their local church. You'll be like, good afternoon. You only greet your pastor, your local church by kneeling down. All the other pastor, you just stand and greet them. No. There's a way we conduct ourselves in this world. I will see that all for scriptures. Learn something? Let's just thank the Lord.